I am Kathy Burgoyne, and these are my colleagues, Caitlin Hill and Trista Curley, and we're going to change perspectives just a little bit to talk about CHWs and informing healthcare reform, which is a really big deal. So you have a state perspective from me, a regional perspective from Caitlin, and a local perspective from Trista, and we're going to try and talk a little bit about how they're linked and how they support one another. So Washington State got one of the CMMI, am I talking Greek yet? We'll see how many letters I can put out there so that we can, it's just kind of how the world has changed and all of these new letters and like you need a glossary for everything. So the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Innovation is responsible for supporting the Accountable Communities or the Affordable Care Act and trying to figure out how we innovatively figure out payment reform, better care, better health, lower cost. How do we do that? And so the state of Washington got a $65 million grant, so a lot of money on one hand, but not a lot of money over 3 years on the other hand, to really achieve the triple aim. And so our state said, okay, so how are we going to go about doing that? And we went through this massive change in that we divided the state into regions. Now these regions don't match the regions for the Department of Social and Health Services. So there's these whole new regions that don't match the existing regions. You're shaking your head. Why do we do that? But we do that because we don't talk together very well. So what our state said is, okay, so we're going to build healthier communities by taking a regional cross-sector collaborative approach. Sounds easy, is really hard. We're going to make sure that healthcare focuses on the whole person. In our state, what that means entirely is we're going to figure out how we take physical health, mental health, and substance use. And that's the whole person. So this second strategy has nothing to do with the community. It's just how we integrate care. And then the third strategy is how do we pay for it? How do we move from a fee-for-service, so every time you go to the doctor, you get charged, every test you get charged, the right to say, no, we're really going to try and do outcome-based. Make sense? Does it sound familiar? Are your states moving in the same direction? Okay. No. Oh my gosh, I'm not sure whether that's good or bad. So we started saying, okay, so how do you actually do this? And said, so there really are three different pieces that we think you really need to actually make that transformation happen. One is you really do need cross-sector, multi-sector. You need housing, health systems, corrections, education, all sitting at the table. Because just like in education, you know, we've done all of this education reform, and we say you're going to improve test scores, and you're going to reduce dropout rates, and you're going to do all of that. But can the schools do that alone? They can't. We can't hit the triple aim alone. So how do we do those cross-sector collaborations? And then how do we actually use data in a way that might let us figure out where we should be working and what we should be working on? I don't know about your state. In our state, Department of Social and Health Services has one data system. The Department of Health has another data system. Corrections has another data system. And then the health systems have another data system, and they don't talk to each other. So you can get all the claims data you want from Medicaid claims, but it doesn't tell you anything about social environments, right? And so in our state, we're trying to put those together. Most health reform efforts end there. Data, professional coalitions, and we're going to figure out how to do it. What we've really been working on in our state, and this for us is really unique, is we're saying, no, somehow we actually ought to have authentic community engagement so that we understand what the data means and what it looks like. So probably the best story that I have on that is I work with a bunch of community health workers in Tacoma, in Washington. And they kept on saying to me, we don't walk, we don't do things outside, we don't let our kids go and play in that park because it's not safe. So as a data person, what do I do? What would you do if somebody said that? I'm really looking for an answer. What would you do if they said they weren't safe? You go to the data. You say, what are the crime statistics? So I did. I went to the crime statistics, and I went back to them, and I said, this is the safest neighborhood in the whole east side of Tacoma. What do you mean you're not safe? And they looked at me and said, duh. Right? Duh, duh, duh. It's packs of dogs running around. It's not crime. Right? So trying to make it, like, the data can't tell me that. So it should all work together. You get the data, you figure out where to target, the coalition systems partners work together, you're doing it together, you're figuring out how you're saving money, and then you're reinvesting it. All of that's going to fail, because community health workers are the gear that will actually connect real communities to those coalitions. If the coalitions work alone, without community health workers really informing it and engaging it, it's not going to work. But I'll tell you, this is really, really hard, because the way that the norms of how the community talks and the norms of how those systems leaders talk, even when they want to work together, is really hard around trying to figure out how do we actually say things to one another that we can hear. How do we use a process that works for us all rather than just for some of us? So where we're trying to get in our state is to say, okay, there's local coalitions and there's local data. Community health worker networks should pull that together. On a regional level, there are some problems that are regional. So we need coalitions there and we need data there, but we need community health worker networks to pull this together. And some issues are all statewide issues. And so the whole thing, we think, works together with CHWs in our picture are the gear, but in some other pictures, they're really the glue that sort of holds this piece together to move policy change. Now we're going to look at what does that look like for real, not just we'll take the abstract and go to the concrete, and what does that actually look like on a regional level?
So I work for the Healthy Living Collaborative in Southwest Washington. We're a collaborative that works with four different counties, and we have three different community health worker sites within the counties. And so we've really focused on that community voice, community-based engagement, and we selected our sites based on the most vulnerable communities, most high need. And so I think I'm going to give it to Trista to talk a little bit about
what it looks like. Yes.
Yeah, what it looks like in South Kelso.
Hello, I'm Trista. I'm a community health worker in South Kelso. Recently in our area, we had a big teacher strike. It kind of tore the whole community apart. The teachers, the students, they all didn't really get along, and then it caused a lot of tension between everybody. I'm a mother of two. My two kids actually attend the elementary school in the district where it happened. So afterwards, after everything and it caused all the tension between everybody, we kind of all got together as a group and decided, what can we do? How can we help somehow to fix something there? So we decided to throw a party. We offered to give the kids haircuts, which, because the day they actually went back to school was the week of their picture days. So we thought that would help their self-esteem, help the parents, you know, kind of uplift them a little bit. So with that, we served dinner. They got their haircuts, and then kind of threw in a little catch there, was to do like a vision board. So we made an idea wall that got a lot of the parents' ideas of, and the children, and also the teachers, and it was just, it kind of told, we asked three main questions, and we asked them what they liked about their neighborhood, what they wanted to improve, and then most importantly is just how can we make improvements together. And then surprisingly, we got over 50 children's answers, and then a lot of the teachers also gave their input. And then the result of that was just that a lot of the parents and everybody thought the whole neighborhood, just nobody forgot. They're just forgotten. They felt like they were the lower income school of the area, so nobody cared. They just thought their kids and then them were just forgotten people. And they were really surprised that we even asked for their opinions, because they are not used to people even asking how they felt about anything. So. Oh, the next one? Okay. And then this was in Vancouver, Washington, with another group of community health workers that we work with. These are calming?
Traffic
calming circles. They're a way for, like, safe passages for kids to go to school. Everybody gets together, and it's usually near schools. And they even...
Yeah.
Oh, it's just right on the street, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. So, just speaking more a little bit more about the organization that I work for. So we're really a health-focused organization, but we are unique in that we have partners from all sorts of different organizations. We have criminal justice, housing, education, and our chair is actually works for the Council for the Homeless. So we have a really social service focus. We really focus on the social determinants of health. And also within our collaborative, we have behavioral health and managed care organizations and foundations. And another thing to highlight about our organization is that we have a funders collaborative. So we have a group of funders that have come together and agreed on one statement of work, with obviously some logistical, legal restrictions, but where they're all saying we want to support community health workers, we want to support these three neighborhoods to be working in their communities. And so our community health workers really they have worked one-on-one with individuals, but they also, we really encourage them and try to look at ways we can work with them to make policy changes and systems changes. So this is Dominique. She lives in Rose Village, which is in Vancouver, Washington, which has a 2% vacancy rate. And in Rose Village, there is the largest affordable housing complex, and it was bought out by an outside developer. And so what happened was everybody started getting vacate notices in the complex. And so how our community health workers mobilized was they went door to door, they made sure people knew what was going on, and with the law saying that they could do 20-day vacate notices, people were really at a loss and really rushing around to get a new place. And we found that some people had to actually relocate to outside the county because of the affordable housing crisis in our region. So they did the door-to-door and the referrals, but then also Dominique and another community health worker testified at the city council and told their story, and it was really beautiful because they also spoke about Section 8 vouchers and how Dominique was in a situation where she had, basically they spoke about how Section 8 vouchers, landlords were didn't have to include them when they were considering the people's income for renting, so it became really apparent that people were already having issues finding housing, and the people who had Section 8 vouchers were really having trouble finding housing, and people couldn't, people were only have 3 months to use their Section 8 voucher once they get it, and there's 7-year waiting lists. So it was a very difficult situation, but due to her testifying, another community health worker testifying, the law was changed, so now there's a 60-day vacate notice, so you know, it's not great, but it's better, it's way better. And they also now have to include the Section 8, and landlords can't discriminate based on Section 8 vouchers, so it was a big win for us.